Good morning and welcome to Renovating in WA. I'm Sally Barker. Joining me on the show today is Sue Daly from Into Property. How are you, Sue?
I'm well, Sally, and you?
I'm well, thank you. Today, it's all about the quotation process.
It is.
Okay. Now, this can be a bit tricky and a bit confusing for a lot of people.
And overwhelming as well.
Oh, gosh, yes, I'd imagine. Mm-hmm. So what do we need to know?
The main thing is that there's plenty of people out there where you can get quotes from, and you've got your own personal network, so you can actually ask your family and friends if they can refer anyone to you. So break down the works. We've done the scope of works already, so break it down into your scope of works, like your electrician, your plumber, and actually start getting quotes from those. So talk to your personal network, your family, your friends, your neighbours, if they've had any work done that you know of. Then if you're in business for yourselves, talk to your colleagues, even your work colleagues. And any of your business networks, there's always referrals out there that you can go to. And then there's also online, there's plenty of websites online now where you can actually hire a tradie, get basically. You just put in what the job is that you want done, and they automatically send you out three contacts that can quote on the job for you. So start actually getting those quotes in, but utilise that scope of works that we've done to actually get them all to quote like for like. You don't want them coming in and the electrician quoting on 10 downlights when you actually need the 15 that's in your scope of works. You need to make sure that each quote you get is the same detail. So that's the first stage that you've got to look at.
Well, you mentioned they'll get three quotes in.
Yes.
Why do we need three quotes?
Well, that's the standard that the system's actually set up, those websites actually do. But I wouldn't recommend more than three quotes anyway for a job that you do. So if you're
confuse happy, yourself, I guess.
You can overwhelm yourself. And, I mean, if you're going to go out there and get five or six quotes from people and you've got them all coming in at the same time, they're going to look and go, well, you've got enough people to quote on. And you might lose the one guy that was perfect for what you wanted to do. So get the three quotes in is the maximum number I would work on. Mm-hmm. And you actually, when you get them in, take details about how you felt with them as well. So give them a copy of the scope of works for what they need to be doing. Take down notes for yourself on how you felt with them, how they presented themselves and they spoke to you, and whether they asked questions of yourself on the job to get more information. So make sure that they're trying to get more details from you on the job as well to quote on, so that they're at least quoting on everything, that there's nothing missed.
So you've got your quotes, you've got mm-hmm. these three pieces of paper.
Yes.
What if they are all very similar? What do you do?
We'll refer to your notes. As I said, take notes about the actual people coming in to do the quotes. Take down what you felt about them, as I said, and your gut feeling. And then when you've actually got those three quotes in, you've done up your scope of works, and we mentioned an Excel spreadsheet before, put down these quotes side by side, and then if they are similar in price, then you start looking at examples of their work. So go onto their websites or their Facebook pages we've mentioned before. See the kind of things. See what their reviews are like, because there's always testimonials. Every trade likes to tell you when someone's happy with their work. So there's going to be their testimonials. There's going to be photos of their work. If they're happy with their work, they will put photos on there. So if you've got three quotes there and you've got one that there's no photos and there's no reviews, there's not really even a website, then I'd be going to the other two and having a look, because a tradie that is proud of his work will definitely display it. Put it down there and then add your notes about how you felt about them. So if there was one particular trade there, the price is, it's acceptable to you and you felt very comfortable with them and related to them and they asked the right questions, sometimes it's good to go with your gut feeling.
So that's very important, making sure you like the person.
You've got to be able to relate. Mm. If you can't relate to the tradesperson, then that's where miscommunications can happen. Mm. It's also where the work might not be done to the standard you want. And you've got to also remember, cheapest is not always best. So you might get your three quotes, but don't just go with the cheap one, because they could be missing something or they might not do the work that you want in the quality that you want.
Mm. And we have spoken a bit about insurance and those kinds of things. So
you can ask for copies of their certificate of insurance from any trade working on your property, and they have to supply that for you. Mm. And then, of course, we've talked about having a project consultant or building consultant that you work with. They've got a network of trades as well. So if you are working with someone that's helping you, ask them for their references, or if you've got your project consultant, work with them and ask them to get the quotes in on your behalf. And then they can present you with multiple trades as well. But predominantly, we've got a set group of trades that we work with, so we don't need to go out there and source different quotes because we know the quality of the work and we know the trades that are doing the work. But yeah, if you are working with someone, they're great to actually utilise their network.
Yeah, so the local handyman, what do we think about that in terms of a project like a big renovation?
Look, it depends on the local handyman, but there's nothing against the local handyman. You might actually have, I know in our area we've got one that everybody loves him. He's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And we've probably got him on a couple of jobs ourselves. So it depends on the work that they do, what they're qualified in doing as well. Mm-hmm. You might have a local handyman that's an ex-chippy. You know, he used to be out there being a roof carpenter or something like that. So he's very handy. But it depends also on the scope of works that you've got mm-hmm. and what work you need done. So it's putting the right trade with that kind of work. So again, this is where it's good to have that help to just break it all down for you.
And what about with a local handyman mm-hmm. in terms of when we're looking at their qualifications and their registration? Is there a sort of a registration they need to have?
Unfortunately, there's not. As we've mentioned before, it'd be nice to see all tradies registered. Mm. But at the moment, the registrations are with the builders, your painters, your electricians and your plumbers, and that's about it, unfortunately. Mm. We would like to see all trades registered so that at least when you are dealing with someone and they've got a registration, you know that they are above board.
So if you're an ex-plumber,
yep.
you want to become a handyman, can you still use your registration from when you were a plumber?
As long as they maintain their licence, definitely. And okay. they can still be a plumber and they just might be more of a handyman as well. So there's nothing to say that someone can't be a handyman.
Mm.
They could have been in the trade for long and they just like pottering around doing the small jobs now rather than the big jobs. So yeah, okay. lucky, you know, having a local handyman on your books is always a good thing.
Yeah, so don't discount the local handyman.
Definitely don't discount them. Just have a look at their work, and if someone else has used them, then go and have a look at how their work is and make sure you're happy with it.
Now, what's after we've decided on who we'd like to go with, what's mm-hmm. the process there?
Basically, then you start scheduling the work in and you talk to those trades and find out when they need to go in. And we'll discuss this in the scheduling side of it. But yeah, you start to schedule, and that is a whole other episode basically coming up next, I'm pretty sure. So there is a lot of work, but you talk to the trade, find out when their availability is. So that's the first thing, check their availability and mm-hmm. then start to schedule based on their availability.
Mm-hmm. And is that something you should ask before you get a quote from a certain person, if you're thinking you'd like to start at a certain time, before they quote, say, will you be available?
It's always good when you're actually getting the quotes. Part of that scope of works, you've got an idea of your time frame. So, mm-hmm. When they're coming in, give them that, what you're seeing as being a start date, and that way they can look at it. Most trades will turn around and say, well, if you're starting then, we might have a job on, but we can fit you in here. So they'll let you know when they're available. So don't be afraid to ask, and don't be afraid to tell them when you're planning on starting and what your time frame is that you're looking at. If it's not reasonable, they will let you know. They will let you know that you'll need more time to do something. So they'll give you an idea of how much time they need to do the job, so that when you are scheduling, you've got all that information. So ask questions. We can't say it enough, I don't think, on this program, that you need to ask the questions and don't be afraid to ask.
Is that something, one of the biggest problems, people not understanding how long things take?
I think that is one of the biggest problems, because there's too many things on TV showing that you can do something in 7 days. And personally, I wouldn't want any renovation done in 7 days. Not at all.
No.
So things take a lot longer than what you see on TV. There is a lot more work that you don't see on TV that's being done behind the scenes. And things take time. And if you want a good job done, don't rush it. Make sure it's done properly the right time. The mm-hmm. first time, sorry.
So be realistic when you are briefing.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah.
And the trades will let you know how long it will take. They don't want to drag a job out. They want to get a job done, obviously, because the sooner they've got the job done, the sooner they get paid. So they're not going to drag a job out, because most of them are not paid on an hourly basis. They're paid for the job. So they're quoting on a specific set of work that you want done.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to come in and get it done for you. So the trades are worth their salt. They'll definitely let you know a timeline, and they'll work to that timeline.
Now, in the quote, is there something you should add for unforeseen circumstances within the job?
Always.
So what should that be? What would that look like in the quote?
I always recommend 10 to 15% of whatever the project costs are. So if you're once you've got all your quotes in, have a 10 to 15% buffer. I think we spoke about this with Nick in Begins and Ends with Money.
Mm-hmm.
You need that contingency because mm-hmm. you never know with a renovation what you're going to find.
Mm.
And like an example, we spoke to Joe about removing a wall. We've actually got a current job where we've got two lintels, which are the steel ones sitting on a fridge recess that needs to come out. So now we've got the job of getting the crane in because the support that we need to put in to be able to take the fridge recess out is almost 500 kilos of lintel.
Oh.
So we need to organise the crane and how we're going to do it and make sure we've got the manpower there to get the job done for the client.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you've got to make sure you allow that contingency.
So in a good quote, will a quote state that this is the amount we quote for the job but allow for 15% contingency?
Not necessarily. The trades tend to quote on what they've been given.
Mm.
I've got to admit, when I talk to clients, yes, I always let them know to do that. And that is probably more where the building consultant and project consultant come in, that they will actually say, allow for that. Your finance broker, as Nick already said, when talking about money, they make sure you think about that as well. Even your bank sometimes will mention that. But it's more at the beginning that you need to get that through and understand that concept. It's not the trades themselves that will put it on. Some trades will talk to you and say, you know, this is subject to what we see.
Mm.
So their quote is subject to what they see and what's in their physical presence. But the minute we take cupboards out and there's something behind those cupboards that they don't know, then that's a variation. So they can say on their quotes it's what their physical inspection has shown.
Right, okay, some great information there, Sue. So three quotes, no more than three quotes.
No.
The cheapest isn't always the best.
Definitely not.
And allow for a 15% buffer.
I'd definitely allow for a buffer.
All right, wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us on Renovating in WA. Sue Daly from Into Property.
Thank you, Sally.